Welcome to Dive Deep. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz. Our goal is for you to be changed people, not because of what we say on this podcast, but because you get to hear how God has changed our understanding of our faith and recreated the way we live our lives. And we talk about that on this podcast. Our hope is that it causes you to stop and think, what could God be calling me to put into action? Pastor Mike, thanks for joining the conversation today.
Hey, Caleb, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So we opened up on the Book of Ruth, our new series, Price and Providence. Looking forward to it. It seems pretty exciting. Have you studied the Book of Ruth in any detail before?
I'm familiar with the story and the passage and have read through it, but to have it in depth with a sermon series, I can't say that I recall ever having participated in or listened to a whole series on the Book of Ruth. So I'm really excited to see how God's going to speak to us through the Word and this incredible story.
Yeah, I am as well. I know my studies of Ruth have really, I've studied it as a book, you know, kind of in personal devotion and heard snippets of kind of some expository preaching on it at different points, but never walked through it in its entirety as its own standalone series. So I'm excited as well.
Yeah. There's so many different dynamics about it. And I think, you know, when you look back on what happens from start to finish, there are pieces that we're familiar with maybe as components, but to think about the deeper levels and meanings of them is going to be really fascinating.
Yeah, I would say I'm excited for that as well. I mean, anytime we as 21st century thinkers that only understand English read Old Testament, there's pieces that just get lost.
Absolutely. And that's the blessing of being able to take time and move slowly. And I think that's just a broad lesson that, you know, just here in our conversation sticks out of move slowly through Scripture, because God speaks to us always when we open His Word, and it doesn't return void. So we get to gather those nuances as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and obviously through the study that accompanies that.
That's so true. And I think there's times where we almost need to stop and recalibrate our personal devotion time. You know, because it can turn into a, well, man, I really want to get this book read through, so I'm going to push through. When in reality, you know, sometimes less is a whole lot more.
For sure. Yeah. And just, I mean, this may be a little bit of a tangent to where we were going, but on the dynamic of Bible study, that's something that stuck out to me recently. I heard someone say, talking about the aspect of pursuing Jesus daily and asking that question, you know, are you pursuing Christ daily? And it stuck out to me. It's like, I know that I can't, humanly speaking, but that almost that effort to out-pursue Jesus in how much he pursues me. I never will do that, but you know, like, do I run towards him as much as he runs towards me in, you know, that day-to-day, you know, pursuit?
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're excited, I know, to dive into Ruth a little bit more and hear some more. You know, I thought it was pretty neat because you and I have had several conversations over, I don't know, the last year about names.
Yeah.
And Arlie brought up where he talked about the names and the meanings, and then he made a statement and a question about, I wonder when they named them, and he would need to do the research. Well, listeners, I have looked into that for you.
Check it out. Here we go.
Here we go. And I cited a couple of different sources, but the Holman Study Bible was kind of my main source for this. So that's where this is mostly coming from. And so as we look at names in the biblical tradition, most often it fell to the mother to name the child, which would seem significant in a patriarchal society.
Sure. Absolutely. Right.
Yeah. But then we did see cases where the father would name the child, or exceptional cases where somebody else, not family related, would name the child. One example being the naming of Moses was named obviously by Pharaoh's daughter.
Sure.
And then actually, not to ruin the story, but at the end of Ruth, there's a situation where somebody else names a child.
Okay, listeners, stay tuned.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of weeks till we get there, but it'll be fun when we do. And naming took place typically on the eighth day, the day of circumcision.
Okay.
So, you know, they named them with a specific meaning. It was not after they had been alive and they could see what their characteristics were and named them accordingly. They named their children almost as a call to what they wanted the child to become, which is pretty neat. And so, you know, the biblical concept a lot of times was It was what they desired the characteristics or the person to become as they grew, that they would grow into their name, that it revealed their character or their destiny, or that it might express a hope for the child's future. And they could change the names. Obviously, God changed names.
Sure. Yeah.
And so that was pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times they would pull in, you know, ideas of what circumstances were going on in the world, or the conditions that they were born in, or the symbolism of what the people were experiencing, and sometimes personal characteristics like Esau. He was hairy.
Sure.
he was named after his body type.
Yep.
So pretty neat. But that's kind of the idea. But there was always this underlying concept that knowing someone's name and knowing them through and through had a power.
Yeah.
And so when God tells Moses, I know you by name and I've called you, there's this understanding, if you're a Hebrew reader, that, wow, Yahweh, the God, the one true God, knows my name, knows his name, knows their entire being, the totality of their nature. That would have been very heavy for a Hebrew reader, but we just pass right on by.
Right, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's neat how God works things out, because Saturday, Jill and I went on a date drive. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for watching the kids. And Caroline was with us. But we on our drive, we listened to something that was talking about this very thing. Another example being when Benjamin was born.
Mm-hmm.
And so Rachel gave birth to him and named him Benoni, son of my struggle. And she passed away because of the birth process, like during that. And then Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel,
mm-hmm.
looked at his son and named him Benjamin, son of my right hand.
Yeah.
And so I think that names, God shows us that names have such significance, because as you shared with us just here a moment ago, names speak not of where we are, but where we are headed.
Yes.
So it makes me think, you know, we didn't choose our own names. They were given to us.
Mm-hmm.
But we do get to choose names to situations.
Mm-hmm.
What do we name our jobs? Is it a dead end or is it a privilege? Do we call it work, or do we say, I'm going to, you know, make drives smoother for people because I'm a mechanic or something? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, whatever it is, like, do we call it work, or what name do we give the things around us? Because we can't change the circumstances or choose the circumstances that we are placed in or allowed to be in, but we can choose what names we give to the circumstances and the situations that we're in.
Yeah, I think of, you know, is your wife a ball and chain, or is she the love of your life?
No, you're absolutely right. When you said that, it took me back like years ago to a summer job that I had, and it was, you know, I remember a guy saying who worked in this factory that I worked in over the summers. He said, you know, the old lady. And it's like, it made my heart hurt, because it's like, oh man, if you're talking about your wife like that, how do you talk to her when you're with her?
Yeah.
You know? And so what comes out of our mouth is a reflection of our heart. So then I think the names that, you know, when we look at physically speaking and with human life, that's significant. And God showed us that. And I think it also applies to what we name to those things around us, because those things are a reflection of what's in our mind, which reflects what's in our heart, and they come out of our mouth. And then you become what you focus on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if think about, and maybe you're listening and you've been given a bad name, not like you're on your birth certificate, but you remember being called stupid or dumb or all these things, and these records play. Like, I love music,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you get a song stuck in your head, and so those songs become records. And if you're listening and you're a dad, you have an incredible opportunity to put great records in your children's minds.
Yeah.
The voice that you have as parents, both moms and dads, there's no one more earthly significant than the voice you have into your child's life. And that plays out. And we see that in scripture, to where mm-hmm. Benjamin was Benjamin, not Benoni, you know? And, uh-huh. you know, we see with Ruth and the names that God has given us in the book of Ruth.
Yeah. And continuing on that thought, you know, if you're a supervisor, you have the opportunity to speak encouragement into the lives of those that you supervise. You may not have all the skills to do the job you're doing, but you can always have the skill of encouragement and speaking to, you know, what people can become. And if you are a coworker, my goodness, a simple word of encouragement can go so far in treating people and helping them, you know, really see themselves in a different light.
Well, yeah. And I would add to that too. Like if you go throughout your day to day and you allow the Holy Spirit to catch your mind, if you're like, man, I'm such an idiot, you know, like stop, you are not.
Yeah.
Don't allow that thought to take root in your mind. Don't water it, because we need to focus on our identity in Christ. Mm-hmm. And if we lose sight of that, if we lose our grasp of that, all those other records, all those other names that can kind of seep in, the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. Mm-hmm. But God has given you the name that's above all other names, if you place your faith in Christ, where the love and the blood of Christ is given to you and everything that comes with that. And so knowing our identity in Jesus, because of who Jesus is, what he's done, we then get to partake in the good things that Christ has offered to us because of his sacrifice on the cross.
Right. And you know what just blows my mind is Revelation talks about how, you know, every believer's true name is written down and hidden. It can't be corrupted. The devil doesn't know it. Nobody knows it except for Christ and the Godhead. And one day when we get to see him face to face, he's going to come up. I just imagine him embracing us as, like, you know, that true, like, just fatherly bear hug. And as he's next to our head, he's going to say, "Here's your name." He's going to whisper it into our ear.
Yeah.
And then we'll have so much understanding and peace and just fulfillment as, wow, that's how you've seen me this whole time. I think it's going to be incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. That's powerful.
Yeah. And we get the opportunities to name our own kids too.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And I know you have some fun stories about your first. Tell us the story of how you came to Evelyn's name.
True confessions. we chose Evelyn's name and she was born.
Mm-hmm.
And then we looked it up and I felt so guilty. I said to Jill, you know, we're still in the hospital, you know, after the delivery time period. I said to Jill, I was like, oh no, we've given her a name. The hospital's like working on the birth certificate stuff and everything. And I was like, and we didn't even look it up. And God in his providence, like, it just was an example of God working ahead even amidst our shortcomings, because Evelyn is a combination of Eve, first mother, and Lynn, which is a variant of life. And then Renee is French for reborn. We didn't know this ahead of time, but I looked it up and I was like, oh, dear Lord, thank you so much.
So put that all together in a single statement. Her name means...
Life reborn.
Oh.
And God in his providence, like, brought a smile to my heart, and it just helped me to feel his smile to be like, Mike, I've got this, you know. Long story short, we've looked up the names of our children before we've named Julia and Caroline, but yeah, names are powerful.
Yeah, that's so neat. I know God did a similar thing through our lives as well. You know, as Michelle and I were dreaming about our future and our family, you know, we were just on a walk one day and we came up with Annalee Jane. Jane was kind of a family name, you know, like that, but Annalee came out of nowhere. That was just a kind of a combination that we really liked. For those who don't know, you know, we went through a whole infertility journey that was really, really difficult for a number of years. And then a miraculous private adoption with Annalee, and the birth mom gave us the honor of naming her.
Wow.
And it wasn't until we got into that process of the adoption before she was born that we looked it up. And come to find out that Anna means God's gift, and Lee is suffering or strife. So her name literally means God's gift out of suffering.
Wow.
And that was a name we never really chose for its meaning, but that was what God gave us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think there's some really significant opportunity in giving children a name. But again, as you said, your name it doesn't have to be who you are. God has a name for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's calling us all to become greater followers of him and to be known as God's children. And I think that's the greatest name we can be called while we're here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So any final thoughts, Pastor Mike, as you want to close out today?
I mean, just kind of like we talked about, you know, think about the situations. I would say to any of you listening, it's a privilege for us to share with you. And maybe there's a situation, a circumstance, or even people around you that you've been giving a name to, or yourself, that really isn't the one that God has designed for that person, situation, or place. And so think about the names that are being given, and think about the grace that God has given you. And because of that grace, be a vessel to carry that out and give the names that God has displayed for you.
Well, thank you for joining us, Pastor Mike.
Sure, my privilege and pleasure.
Thanks for connecting with us today on CWC Dive Deep. If you value the time you've spent here today, join our mission to invest in others by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast where you might be listening from. Talk about it as you grab coffee with a friend. Shoot them a text and tell them to listen in. And join us next week as we continue our discussion on price and providence. If you missed past episodes, you can check those out at cwc.life. Have a great week.